Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 26th episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you who are joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you valuable information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We will be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each week. As I do each series, I'd like to open this episode with a quote, and the author is unknown, and it says, "Life is like a camera. Focus on what's important, capture the good times, develop from the negative, and if things don't work out, take another shot." Well, today we have an extra special surprise for you. I'm happy to have a guest, Carol Chapman. Carol Chapman is a New Age author, an inspirational speaker, an independent filmmaker, a nature photographer, and boy, you should see her photos, and the CEO of the publishing company Sun Topaz, LLC. She usually specializes in New Age subjects, including spiritual awakening, dreams, reincarnation, nature spirits, Atlantis, the Yucatan, ancient mysteries, law of attraction, and the power of prayer. However, we're going to step away from that just briefly because today she's going to be discussing the common fears of public speaking and what you can do to easily overcome your fears. So welcome, Carol. Are you here?
Yes, Stephanie. Hi there. It's a delight to be here.
Well, thank you so much for coming and being a guest on the show.
So I'm really interested in this topic about the fear of public speaking because, you know, when you're an author, people just assume that you are a speaker as well. And in fact, for me, before my first book was even out, I got invitations to speak. I mean, it wasn't even published. People just heard that I had a book that was going to be published. And, well, that was sure a... I remember saying to the woman who invited me, I said, "I can't do that." And she was real sweet. And interestingly, I was at the nursing home where my dad was. So, I mean, this was totally unexpected. And she was the pastoral counselor there and was secretly interested in Atlantis. So as soon as she heard that my book had something to do with Atlantis, she said, "I belong to this group and we want you to speak for us." And that's when I said, "No, I can't do that." And she said, "Yes, you can." And then she went on to say how much it would just help them out so much, and they would just love to hear from me. And wasn't it great that I was an author? And I said, "Not yet," you know, hoping to dissuade her. But in any case, she right away put this talk together. It was in someone's living room. It wasn't in front of hundreds of people. There were maybe 30 people, and I was scared to death.
And you did it.
I did it. I sure did. And I must admit, the main reason that I could do it was her. Because she was so loving, so supportive, and because she talked about her group. So, of course, what was making me so afraid was, what are people going to think of me? What are they going to think about what I'm talking about? Who am I to say anything? I'll probably say it wrong. I'll probably say, like I just said, you know. It was all about me not perfect. But because she kept saying, you know, we just love this stuff. And my parents were from a relatively small town. And she said, nobody comes here that talks about those kind of things. And she said, we just, you know, we're just like hungry for information. I had been to Egypt with my publisher. And I'd taken photographs. I had slides. It was before PowerPoint. So I was going to show the pictures on a carousel. And she wanted to see my pictures. She wanted to hear about what it was going to be like, what it was like to be in Egypt. Because a lot of people want to see the Great Pyramid. They want to see the Sphinx. But most people don't go. So they wanted to hear all about it. So I learned from that. What should a person really fear? And they really should be thinking about what their audience wants and needs. Because that overcomes, anyway, for me, it helps me immensely to think about giving to people and what do they need. So then when I started thinking about that, even if I was talking in front of three people, you couldn't say to me, well, it's only 30 people. I'd say, I don't care.
So I've heard maybe some of the greatest fears that people have when you were talking, it's like, who am I to speak? Or what if my audience isn't interested in what I have to say? And I think you began addressing those by saying, well, find someone who knows the group and talk with them. Find out what your audience really does want, because that's going to make your speech a success if you're speaking to the wants and desires of your group.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. The other thing that's really helped me over the years is to realize, and I have spoken to groups up to maybe 150 now. That's probably the largest group I've spoken in front of. And the reality is, each person in the audience is just one person having a relationship with me. So even though I'm standing there going, oh my God, there's all these people here. And even though of those people, some of them have obviously been dragged there. And some of them are just there because they've got nothing else to do. But there are, of course, also these shining faces that are very interested in what I'm speaking about. The reality is, those people sitting there don't see everyone else. They only see me. So as time has gone by, I realized that I'm just speaking to one person. And that makes it a lot easier as well.
Well, we also hear tips about, you know, imagine your audience is naked and things like that. But it sounds as if your most helpful tip for managing the stress of public speaking was to talk with each individual that's in your audience to the best of your ability.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, I tried that because I think it was, I mean, I've heard this over and over again, but it's Winston Churchill who said that that is the way he got around his fear. So, I mean, you wouldn't expect that he would have a fear of public speaking because he led the Allies in World War II to victory. He was on television, on newsreels. Well, they didn't have TV yet, but he was on movie newsreels. I mean, he was the guiding force. And yet here's a man who is also afraid of being turning out a fool in front of other people. And he said he dealt with it by pretending that everyone was in their underpants. But I've tried it, and it doesn't matter.
I think I get a little distracted.
Yeah. Yes. It also really helps to prepare ahead of time. The problem is, you know, some people just aren't preparing ahead of time people. And that's when it gets difficult, because I'm one of them. So there are some.
Because we're going to talk about the two main types of people who prepare differently for speaking events. So you know your stuff well enough that maybe you don't have to prepare, or you've got a general outline of what you want to say.
No.
Is that one of the types of people?
No, there's a type of person who tends to be a messy person. They're often late. It's very common with authors. And those kind of people there's the organized people, and they have written the speech a month ahead of time. They're preparing for it. They are practicing it for at least a month, 2 months, whatever. So there's that type of person. And, of course, there's different gradations of all these people. But the type of person I am is a last-minute person. And in the end, what I do, or what I have done in the past, is, like you say, just have a couple of speaking points. The trouble with that is there's a time limit of when you're supposed to be speaking. So inevitably, I get lost in some story that I'm telling, and I'm going off on this tangent, and the clock is ticking along, and I've got like 7 more points to make. And so then I'm in trouble. And the reality is there are just different types of people. And what has helped me, being the kind of person I am, is I do have to say that speech at least once ahead of time. And for me, because I am frightened or nervous or perfectionistic, the way I can, most of the time I just keep procrastinating and putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. But in the end, I usually am able to say it at least once ahead of time, because I have to make sure it's going to fit the time. And then I have to make sure that I have a place or two that if I'm going over time, that I can stop it there, plan that ahead of time, because I'm that kind of person. Now, the other kind of person's prepared it perfectly. It fits the time perfectly. You know, they just got it down. But I have just got to deal with myself.
Right. And we're coming up on our break. And I'd like to mention that we have a Calm Moms webinar coming up on Tuesday, May 26th at 2 p.m. Mountain, 1 p.m. Pacific time. And meanwhile, you can get brushed up on some of the points with a Calm Moms free report. I will remind you that the audio special that was attached to this free report is no longer available, but it may become available in the future. So we'll be back with Carol Chapman right after our short break.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. This is Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and we're here today with Carol Chapman, who's a New Age author, an inspirational speaker, an independent filmmaker, a nature photographer, and is the CEO of the publishing company Sun Topaz, LLC. Carol's been talking with us about, does public speaking stress you? And we're going to touch on a few more points. And I think Carol has also got a couple of things that she's doing in the background to get ready to launch some things that she's doing on her own. So we'll touch briefly on those a little bit later on in the show. So meanwhile, Carol, we've been talking about the two main types of people who prepare differently for speaking events. You mentioned that you're a little bit of a procrastinator and you get through it at least one time, but there are other people who work on it diligently for maybe a month or two before they even speak. And this might lead us into our next question. How much is too much when you're giving a speech?
Well, it of course depends how long the speech is that people have asked you to speak. So that's why it's so important when someone asks you to speak, or if you are setting up speeches for yourself for whatever reason, that whoever the organizer of the event is, you ask them, well, how long would you like me to speak? So obviously, if they want you to speak for 5 minutes, well, that is very different than something that's going to be for 20 minutes or even 2 hours. So most of the time when I'm speaking, even if I'm doing an all-day event or, say, a weekend retreat, most of the talks themselves are no longer than an hour and a half or 2 hours. So if most people, if they're asked to give a speech, it's often an afternoon, which would be about 2 hours, or it's an evening, which is about 2 hours or so. And if you're giving a speech of about that length, the optimum number of points you should talk about is 3, only 3 points. Now, you're talking specifically about mothers, and I used to be a LaLeche League leader, so I had groups that I spoke to about breastfeeding. And the thing is, being a LaLeche League leader, I knew lots about mothering. I knew lots about breastfeeding. I knew lots about child care. I knew tons about that. However, if someone had asked me to give a talk about some aspect, say they asked me to give a talk, well, I would choose one specific topic. Say it had to do with getting enough sleep or how to handle being a mom of a toddler and get enough sleep to be able to keep going, kind of thing. And then I would choose, having had 3 kids in 5 years myself, I know all about how hard it can be to just have enough sleep to function. And so I would give a talk on one main part of that whole huge topic of mothering and breastfeeding, and that would have been how to get enough sleep to function, or how to function with hardly any sleep. And I would have chosen 3 points specifically about that. And then I would have talked about those points. And the one thing that I found the most interesting, because I always have an evaluation form that I hand out to people afterwards, because I want to find out what works and what doesn't work. And over again, what people say they love the most is my personal stories. They don't want to hear statistics. I mean, I put some statistics in. They don't want to hear even the quotes or whatever. They don't ever say that. They love my own stories. And they love to hear stories about just how, even if it's something little, how I just said, well, I was a mom with 3 kids born in 5 years. So I had many years where I hardly had any sleep. And that's what people would say. That's what we love to hear. So in those 3 points, if you're giving a speech, and of course if it's a shorter amount, say it's only an hour or 30 minutes or whatever, well then you would make only 2 points, or maybe even only 1 point if it's even shorter. But try to, if you can, put a story in there. And it doesn't have to be a personal story, but I'm saying that if you have a personal story, people love to relate to you as just a human being, because, face it, most people are afraid to get up and speak in public. So they assume that if you're up there speaking, you must be somehow special, or you must have it really together. Which may not necessarily be so. It's just that you're doing it, and maybe certainly the more speeches you get, the easier it gets. So the important thing is not to have to say everything you know in a speech. Make it no more than 3 important points. Put some factual information and also put a story with each of the points. And then the other thing is always have an introduction and always have a conclusion. And there you've got your speech.
And the way you're saying this, it makes it sound like it's so easy to do.
Ah. It is
the hard part. The stressful part is actually going to just be getting up and maybe giving the speech, but you've given us a wonderful outline, an intro, a body with 2 or 3 points, depending on how long it is, some personal stories inserted, and then the conclusion. That sounds easy enough.
It's absolutely so. And I must admit, until I learned to structure my speeches like that, I felt totally overwhelmed. I mean, it was hard enough getting up in front of an audience, but there was that conflict about I know so much, and because of the whole wanting to be liked by my audience, wanting to be good enough, I was saying all these things when people can't absorb all that. You know, they want to be entertained. In fact, Stephanie, the best advice I ever got about how to get a speech was from my pastor. I had a dear friend who, her husband, both of them were pastors, and he said, of course, pastors go to school like anyone else, and they go to summer school, and they go to conventions, and one of the main classes that they learn are how to give a sermon that keeps everyone's attention. And he said what he had learned was that you are not imparting information this guy helped me immensely. You are giving a performance. The people in your audience aren't there. They all these fears that I've had about, do I know enough? Am I good enough? Will they think that I'm stupid? You know, all these kind of things wasn't really what it was about. What it was really about is that the people in my audience, they've taken time out of their life for something interesting. So he said, use hand gestures. Make sure you look at all the people in the crowd, smile, you know, have facial expressions as if you're interested in what you're talking about. And he says, and he must obviously be one of these people that prepare way ahead of time, and based on his support, I began to prepare much more ahead of time just because it made things easier for me. But now in speeches, I will put things like put a hand on hip and look at audience, and then I say what I'm going to say when I do that.
Well, and if you've asked the question of what's important to your audience, they even give you your points to discuss. So you're not left wondering what's going to keep them interested and what their level of interest is going to be. You hone it into your audience. So, Carol, we only have about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. And I'm just wondering if you have a favorite quote that you like to remind yourself every day.
Yes. This is a quote that kept me going during a very difficult divorce and custody fight. And it's by Helen Keller, and it is, life is either a daring adventure or nothing. So I thought she had to, somebody who was deaf and blind, to have made that her motto in life, surely showed what gave her that spirit to keep going in the face of all kinds of adversity.
Oh, that is so inspirational. And then what do you do for fun?
Well, I've got grandkids, so of course I love to spend time with my grandkids. But I also
I
love
know.
To
my listeners hear that from me all the time.
They just rejuvenate me. They're so sweet. Plus, I love to read romances. And I love to travel. So those are three main things that I love doing.
Well, Carol, thank you so much for joining us today. This is all for today's show, and I'm like Carol, I'm going to go off to play with my grandchild. I encourage you to email in at info@makingshiftshappen.com with any questions you might have. If you have questions for Carol, you can sure email them to me, and I will make sure that she gets them and we get a response back to you. I'd like to thank everyone who has signed up for the free reports, and I'd like to remind you of the upcoming webinar on the 26th. You can click on the link in the text. That's all for now. Looking forward to hearing from you next week.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.